Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The word of the year for 2014 is hashtag Black Lives Matter. That's according to the American Dialect Society. It's a word that responded to one of the biggest news stories of the year, of Ferguson and other stories of alleged police brutality against African Americans. Well, what do you think about that as the word of the year, or would you have picked a different word? We invite you to our conversation as we talk about the word of the year, 2014, hashtag Black Lives Matter. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980, and you can email your questions and comments to The Source at tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. And with me to talk about this is Sonja L. Lanehart. She is the Brackenridge Endowed Chair of Literature and Humanities at the University of Texas at San Antonio. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So you nominated the hashtag Black Lives Matter to the American Dialect Society. So what was your thinking when you said, this is the word I want to nominate?
This started several months ago, actually. I put it in my smartphone on the date for Words of the Year and listed it and said, this will be the word of the year. We're definitely getting it on there. So it started in response to everything that we all know that's been going on in the news media, but also for me, sort of the historical nature of that. It's not like this is the first time these things have happened, but it's raised to a level of consciousness, especially among young people, that I thought it was time that we actually recognized it in our organization.
So what do you mean the historical nature of the word?
Well, no, the historical nature of what that word, what hashtag Black Lives Matters represents.
Okay, so tell me about that.
So it represents violence towards Black people outside of those communities and inside of those communities, not just by police, but others, but in particular in the cases that we're talking about police, and it's not just for men, it's for women as well. We've historically seen this, some call this sort of like a new era of lynching or a new era of Jim Crow in the sense that this violence that's been perpetuated against Black people is not unprecedented. That's the thing. So I think it's unprecedented for some. It's in that it's come into their consciousness. But for Black people, it's raising sort of this reawareness of, wait a second, this has been going on for so long. This has been going on for as long as we can remember. When is this violence against Black people going to stop? Part of it is, why is it that people look at Black people and automatically have these feelings of insecurity or uneasiness or automatically think the worst things, when actually there are other groups that do the same. There's no group that doesn't do the same thing, right? But don't seem to get that same sort of reaction. And so I wanted people to think about this with outside of just our mainstream society, but think about this even in our learned societies and say, we need to recognize this and actually bring this out, something where we can have a discussion about it.
So are you saying that when there are like stories in the news media and like someone goes missing and it's like a Natalie Holloway, some girl in Aruba, and she goes missing and the news media blows it out of the water and becomes a big deal, but because she fits a narrative, because she's a pretty girl, white girl from upper middle class or some type of situation, but if she was an African-American female, it would not have gotten the attention.
Yes, those are true, and you've noted those, but I think a more recent example that might make it clearer is the whole sweetheart thing that just happened, where these two were seen as these sweethearts on a crime spree, and if you could imagine them having been two African-Americans, would they have been known as sort of the sweetheart crime spree people? I think those sorts of incidents and how Black people get cast as an other that's seen as horrific, whereas white people can do the same thing. And it's, you know, oh, it's just boys being boys, or, you know, something like that. The same thing. We can see that comparable things happen in education, for example, where Black kids and children of color are punished more than white kids are, and for very similar behavior. And okay, that's what I'm talking about, how Black people are viewed.
So this was a very important word for you. You really you wanted to get this out there.
Yes, it was very important for me. In part, too, for being a linguist in the American Dialect Society, that group started off in terms of when they started voting for Words of the Year, if you go back and look at the numbers, they were fairly small, especially compared to now. So you might have, say, 40 or 50 people in a room voting on these words, and it was very, you know, serious and lighthearted at the same time in choosing particular words. So, for example, the very first word was bush lips, right? Nobody actually remembers that, so obviously.
Sure, 1990.
Yeah, we didn't make a good choice that particular time.
Right, it was supposed to come from Read My Lips, No News, New Taxes, The Broken Promise of George H.W. Bush.
Exactly. So
it wasn't a big, I've never heard anyone ever say that.
I didn't even say that. I had never even heard of it before walking into that room.
Okay, an inauspicious beginning for the selection of the word of the
year. Yeah, I'm glad it got a little better. But for if you look at that, you'll see the numbers are fairly small in terms of who's voting. This year, we had about 300 people in the room voting or more, 300 people voting on Words of the Year, and it was a very heterogeneous group. Young, old, various people of color, various sexualities, everybody was in that room as sort of a microcosm of America. And you could tell by the level of sort of intensity and activity that was going on. We had corners rooting against each other. Clearly, it was sort of like reminded me of the Academy Awards where they talk about the people who are on the floor and then the people who are in the balcony. It was kind of like that with the young people sort of in the back of the room. Behind us, almost like this border sort of yelling, yay, we want this. And then the older people on the other side of the room, you know, saying what they wanted. So the dynamics were very different than in the past. And so it was reflected in that. And I think it was that energy that came through that not only did something like hashtag Black Lives Matter get nominated as Word of the Year, as well as in a different category, but we had Columbusing win.
Yeah, that's
in a
new
category.
To me. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that word.
Tell me about what is Columbusing?
So Columbusing is things that white people or majority culture start to realize that people of color already knew or was already going on in those communities. So, for example, think about how words like a slang in particular gets used and it sort of gets brought into a larger culture, but also in terms of like, well, let me start back. It does come from Christopher Columbus, right? Sure. Christopher Columbus supposedly discovered, right? We all know the kids' song that, you know, how can you discover something when somebody's already there? That song that you learned. So it's sort of that same thing. It's like white people discovering something black people already knew or people of color. So twerking is
sure.
A good example.
Well, Columbus, you know, I call that being a culture vulture. You know, going to someone else's culture and picking out things and then claiming it as your own.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I'm going to go I got a caller here. Let's get him on the phone, on the air real quick. It's got John on the air. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. And I don't intend this to be personal against your guest or directed at anyone, but I think that the choice of the word is disrespectful. It's quite frankly insulting, and the process you just described by which you've got this group of people rooting and cheering is makes it almost blasphemous in my mind. The idea that typing a hashtag into Twitter or Facebook is a type of activism or actually has any kind of meaning that bears on the type of world that you want to see and how you conduct yourself is just not true. And my nomination for the Word of the Year should be Slacktivist. For all the people that literally did nothing more than type simple words into a social media platform rather than going up and standing up for their beliefs.
Okay, John, thank you for your call. Appreciate your comments and your ideas. Slacktivist is his idea. It's a combination of activist and slacker, people who aren't really getting out of their comfort zone, but they're willing to do a hashtag to say, I support XYZ. Anyway, we'll get your reaction to that. We're going to go to break really quick. We're talking about the word of the year, 2014, hashtag Black Lives Matter, according to the American Dialect Society. What do you think about that word? Would you have picked a different word? We got some other words to talk about as well. The number is 210-614-8980. Word. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Every year, the American Dialect Society announces their pick for the word of the year. And this year, for 2014, it was hashtag Black Lives Matter. And of course, that is a word that's got some political baggage with it. Is it the right word to describe 2014, or is there an agenda behind that word? Other words that could have been considered was a narcissistic, lumbersexual, Ebola, because that was such a big news story. Those are other ideas, other words. Vape was another word that was kicked around. With me to talk about this is Sonja Lane Hart. She's the Brackenridge Endowed Chair in Literature and Humanities at UTSA. So when, obviously, there is some political baggage when we talk about hashtag Black Lives Matter. People, I say this is a direct response to the big story of Ferguson and other stories of police brutality against, particularly over-policing of African-American communities, where there seems like a lot of attention, stop and frisk and that type of activity. But so why though say black, why do we have to say Black Lives Matter? I mean, it's just like, to me, it's like, of course Black Lives Matter. You know, why do we have to say that?
Because clearly just by action, not Black Lives, all Black Lives don't matter. So in response to that, we had people, for example, say, well, let's nominate or consider nominating All Lives Matter, right? Well, Black Lives Matter exists because clearly Black lives are not included in all lives.
What is it? There's a perception in segments of the population where people feel like they can be targeted by police or other authority figures, and then there would not be the outrage if they were of a different demographic.
Correct. So it's important to have Black Lives Matter in particular. Actually, at one point, I think, or there are some other sorts of things. Give me an example would be like, yes, all women. And then in response to that was no, all men, right? So it's not the idea.
What does that mean?
Oh, yes, all women. This had to do with some of the things that were going on with...
like consent.
Yes. Yeah. So I think you have to call attention to it, right? We can have, I mean, hashtags can be all sorts of things and people sort of have responses to them. But the fact that they actually bring along sort of these ideas, right? It's promoting an idea. It's promoting something just beyond those words, right? It's promoting a history. It's promoting an ideology. And people, yes, do respond to those ideologies in different ways. But the American Dialect Society has not, this is not new for them. Several times we've voted for words that have political connotations or intentions, despite sort of the eclectic nature of our group.
Sure, like Occupy in 2011 was the word,
yes,
of the year.
Or when I told you before that we've nominated, Bush Lips was our very first one, which nobody ever remembers, but clearly had some political connotations. So I think every now and then, just based upon the political climate and what's going on in our culture, because our words are connected to that, right? Our words reflect us in our changing times. We add new words because we have new situations that are going on, and sometimes we take old words and give them new meanings, but they have to continue to reflect this day and age. And as a result, I think the American Dialect Society, in choosing something like hashtag Black Lives Matters, also is recognizing these changing circumstances. So words aren't just, you know, three letters or whatever. We don't have to think about them in those constrained ways. We can think about them in larger contexts in the same way that words convey sort of convey things more than just the words printed on the page.
Right, but it's also a word in time. And so in this particular time in 2014, so as we look back at previous selections for 2010, app was the big word that was selected, 2002, weapons of mass destruction, 2003, a metrosexual. These are moments in time, and
yes,
you see these words and you're immediately brought back to like, okay, yeah, and that was the year where that was the big thing, and that was the big thing. I can look back at it. So going forward, we can only imagine what in 2020, when they say, hey, back in 2014, they picked hashtag Black Lives Matter. And what do you think, as that, what the anthropology of that will look like at the time.
I would hope that everybody at that point can say, oh, of course Black Lives Matter. Like you said, all lives matter, right? And we don't have to go through this juxtaposition.
So explain this to me, this crazy hashtag
right,
Black Lives Matter.
How could there ever have been sort of juxtaposition
like that?
Well,
there was this town called Ferguson.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story.
I want him to know Ferguson, but I also want him to understand that, yes, there was a context in which that had to be said. But I hope 5 years from now, although I'm not optimistic, but I would hope in 5 years from now, there wouldn't be a need to have Black Lives Matter in a way that people start saying, oh, that wasn't really important. Why do you have to talk about that, right?
Sure.
That you want to be able to say, yes, of course Black Lives Matter. Why would we even have that, right? But
right,
still understand the context in which it arose.
Our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. And we're talking with Sonja Lainhart. She is a Brackenridge Endowed Chair in Literature and Humanities at UTSA. And she nominated and campaigned for hashtag Black Lives Matter as the word of the year at the American Dialect Society. You know, some of the pushback for the phrase that Black Lives Matter and the meaning behind it is that the Black Lives Matter, when do they matter the most, or is it because these were people that were targeted by police and now their lives matter because they were killed in a confrontation with police? What about all of the people who deal with in crime in other instances that the police come and help them? Do they matter?
Yes, I mean, as again, theoretically, all lives matter.
Yes.
But practically, that is not the case. Practically, we're sort of like Animal Farm, right? Some lives matter more than others.
Everybody's equal, but some are more equal than others.
Exactly. And I think that, I mean, that's where the pushback is. That's where the problem is. If it weren't the case, we wouldn't have things like hate crimes that get prosecuted differently, right?
Right.
Because we're trying to deal with the fact that people do commit these crimes and those sorts of things.
And they're motivated by the worst intentions. You
right.
know? So,
So these are hate crimes against people who are not like the people that you think should be, you know, that they're the majority, they're the norm or whatever. The fact that we make those distinctions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that hence the issue with needing to call out. I'm sure you could have a hashtag Brown Lives Matter. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or what have you, all sorts of things, in the sense that they're all hearkening to this idea that we are still not at a place where everybody's lives are considered the same, that we're all equal. Right. So we see that reflected in different ways. And this is just making you remember that it's true that saying Black Lives Matter isn't necessarily activism, but what is activism is when you do see people out on the streets where we've had protests here in San Antonio and across the nation, and people are holding up these signs, hashtag Black Lives Matters, and telling you why we're here and how we got here. And that is the rallying cry for that.
Well, we had a caller. We couldn't get him on the air because his connection was not good. Chris said that using a hashtag is a form of activism. Slacktivist is more offensive, he thought, as a term. So apparently because you aren't marching in the streets and you're not occupying downtown in a tent, that you're still your opinions still matter and you still should be able to signal the rest of the world that this is important to you.
Yes, exactly. And I think we've seen lots of studies that talk about the importance of social media in activism, in protesting, in when we talked about, for example, something like Arab Spring, right? The role that social media played in something like that.
Right.
We can actually see the role of social media in negative ways, but we can see it in these positive ways as well.
Sure,
because
communicating in these non-mainstream ways and getting subgroups in order to organize and figure out how their voice can be maximized.
Right. But one of the issues with social media and why something like hashtags become important is because people who may not have even been aware of certain things originally or understood a way that they wanted to voice something, but they didn't know how.
Sure.
You find this and you go, oh, there is something that I wanted to do, and here's a group or here is something that I can join that actually is an affinity for what I believe.
So the breaking down this isolation that we
yes.
all have.
Yes, yes. Okay. It allows something to go not just social, not just local, but global.
Sure. So why the hashtag? Why is that a big part of the hashtag Black Lives Matter? Why can't the word just be Black Lives Matter?
Because it's not the way that we communicate these days, right? So with Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, and all of those sorts of ways, that's how we mark our language now. When we mark that, it's interesting. I remember just a few years ago when people were complaining that hashtags are bleeding over into Facebook, right? Now, hashtags are all over Facebook and nobody's complaining about them, right? So you may have a paragraph of something and then you mark it with a hashtag to say, this is what this meant. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I just read one before coming on the air, and it was an interesting comment. And then it was just hashtag random. Right. So I'm just letting you know this was random. It just came out of nowhere. It wasn't sort of a precursor to this. But that's OK. That provides me with the context and the scene for this. And hashtags do that. I use hashtags like that all the time. And usually you'll see a series of them. Right.
Right.
It'll be like hashtag Throwback Thursday, hashtag random, hashtag whatever, right?
Right.
But it gives you the sort of context and connotation for those.
So the American Dialect Society, and I'm looking at these words that you guys have come up with over since 1990, and there does seem to be a liberal bias here, you know? The first one is the Bush lips, and then Occupy, and it just bailout, truthiness. There does seem to be, you know, as you talk about, it's everyone from around the country, but it's not really an even demographic, is it?
You know, I think our organization has both. I know our organization has both conservatives. Well, not even both. Has conservatives, liberals, Democrats,
the entire
people
spectrum.
Along the entire spectrum, right? Linguists are not immune to, you know, sort of having these diverse.
But is there a concern, though? Does that get weighted? It's like, we don't want to become a political football, or we don't want to be discounted as just being.
I do remember early on when we were voting and sort of political issues started getting involved, right, that people mm-hmm. will often make comments, have often said, you know, we don't want to be political. But, you know, how can we be objective about this situation? So,
and capture the word of the year, a word that will definitely resonate in years to come, that this was 2014 and hopefully we get it moving forward.
Yes. And the whole idea is that, like I said.
Oh, we're out of time. Oh, thank you so much. This is The Source on KSTX.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is produced by Paul Flav and David Martin Davies. Elena Soros is our intern. Our engineer is Doug DeMore. Management and oversight provided by VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Production assistance is provided by me, Ruben Garcia. The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation and the GAC Health Foundation.